Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Good evening. God bless you. God bless you to those that are listening this evening, this Saturday, beautiful evening. I don't think it's too cold. I think it's all right. Amen. And to my lovely co-host,
Dr. Clarice Cheney.
Amen. Amen. And so we're here before you again. Last week we were talking about something that was powerful, things that keep us from destiny. And Dr. Cheney, she was talking about strongholds and those areas of strongholds that keeps us bound and keep us from flowing into the things of God and coming and operating in the things of God and where the Lord has promised you. Again, we have also our daughter-in-law, Prophetess
Sardae Cheney.
Amen. And then we have Dr. and Prolifitator and prophet and apostle and bishop, he himself.
You need to stop, man. I'm just Derek Mercer Jr.
Amen. So we have some powerhouses in here today, and we pray that you tune in because we want to be able to deliver. And our hearts is to come to you and share with you, to empower you, to infuse you with a prophetic moment. And what a prophetic moment is, it is a moment in which you take the word of God or something that you may hear, and you take it as prophecy in your now, your kairos moment, and you activate what God is telling you, and you perfect it by walking in what God has given unto you. Amen. And so we're going to go right in, amen, and we're going to ask a couple of questions pertaining to what stronghold. God wants us liberated. Matter of fact, the word of the Lord declares that he's already translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has liberated us. He has set us free by his own power. Amen?
Amen.
It says this right here. It says, what are the weapons of our warfare? In 2 Corinthians, there are actually arsenals, is an array of powerful devices used to wage war. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 of the BIB transliteration, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world or fleshly. Instead, they are divinely powerful toward the demolition of strongholds or fortress. And then the question I want to ask, for your benefit, praise God, to those that are listening, because these are some powerhouses, my wife, strong, powerful anointing upon her life. What are the weapons of our warfare? You want to answer that, Dr. Cheney? Or
praise God, weapons, the weapons of warfare.
Yeah, what are the weapons of warfare?
Praise God, weapons of warfare can they're basically strongholds, praise God, amen?
Yeah, our weapons are their weapons. What are weapons of our warfare?
Our weapons of our warfare is just sometimes just being us. We can be the weapon of our warfare. Just this, what coming out of our mouth can cause us to have warfare, praise God, amen? Just what you say out your mouth can cause a warfare. Amen. Not speaking, be careful the words you speak. You're speaking negative and not speaking positive on everything you deal with in life. Yes. You're causing warfares in your life.
In your own life, amen.
In your own life.
I want to ask this to Pastor Mercer. What are the weapons of our warfare? What do we have that can come against the devices of the wicked one? Let me quote it real quickly in the King James Version. For our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds.
Mm-hmm. So in context, one of the things that Paul is trying to address is the true issue of that has nothing to do with just beyond principalities.
Bring your mic closer.
Okay. Is that a little better?
A little better.
Yeah, I'm working with something.
Yeah, we see them doing things.
And so one of the things is that with this, is that the greatest weapon or dynamic of warfare is really us. It's you.
Amen.
One of the things that I believe that the Christians primarily struggle with is always playing the blame game.
Come on now.
Not really
come on.
Understanding that as Satan is busy, he does do things, but he's not as busy as we are to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now you're saying
there
it
was,
now.
There was a saying that I heard about a few years ago that it said the biggest enemy is the inner me.
Oh, that's
cool. Come on now.
Go and read in the book of Galatians chapter 5. He says that the works of the flesh are these.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at what the works of the flesh are, it shows us that we are our biggest fight.
Yes, amen.
Confirmation.
We just give mm-hmm. something to work with.
to Prophetess Cheney, what does the Lord is saying to you concerning about what our warfare, our weapons?
So when you talked about our weapons and what we can use, I said it as tools. So
yes.
I looked at it from the perspective of we always say praise is our weapon.
Okay.
And so we bruise the enemy's head with our feet. We open up our mouths and we begin to praise God in the midst of our situations. Because again, if you said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, we have to understand that our response cannot be a natural response. So it's not natural for me to begin to praise God in the middle of my situation. It's not natural for me to respond in a way that brings God in the middle of it. So if he tells us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, what does that look like while I'm going through my trial or my tribulation? And so when listening to everybody saying that we are our biggest enemy, our biggest enemy, I understand from that perspective that we are, and others, people will become our biggest enemy, and understanding that, again, like Pastor Mercer did say, that the enemy will use people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be able to identify the spirit that the person is operating out of and not the person itself.
Yes.
Understanding that being in a place where you can pray as your weapon,
mm-hmm.
being in a place where you're fasting as your weapon,
mm-hmm.
so that we'll be able to combat what the enemy is doing, because I can't combat myself without understanding what first I'm dealing with.
Yes, that's good.
And I wanted to say, too, it's a sin. This is so real. Change your thoughts. You change your thoughts. You change your life. And that's real. You know,
yes,
people, you do see, most of the time, people fight against what the enemy have them think that's not real. So if you can change that thought up there, praise God, and change it into positive no matter what you see or no matter what you deal with, you'll find that your whole life will change.
Yes,
with your
good.
Thought mind.
That's good.
And that's a battle.
Yeah,
that mind, if the devil comes to work on what? Our mind.
I mean, yeah, and that's what he'll try to channel on. The scripture says, have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus. There are spiritual arsenals or weaponry that we can use to tear down the stronghold. Strongholds are it's so complex when we're talking about a stronghold. In the greater dimension, you're talking about the kingdom of Luciferian kingdom, or demonic kingdom, or devilish kingdom. And so what happens is that because of that dominion, Jesus said this right here, he cast out the devil, and he said, well, the reason why you're casting out this devil, because you have the prince of the spirit of Beelzebub. And then the Lord began to talk about the division of the kingdom of Satan. Now, this is what he says. It's kind of very powerful. And this, we're going to the next question. It says, in the NIV transliteration, it said, in fact, no one enters a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Jesus was coming in as a greater, stronger man to defeat or dismantle the stronghold that Satan had. He had bound the people, and there were people that were in position, because Jesus said, the reason why you don't hear me, because you're none of my seed. Okay, and so the stronger man had to come in and to tear down or to tie him. And what has happened is that we are not allowing the strong man to come in, to enter in, to dominate the other strong man or his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Can a devil cause or be responsible for a stronghold? Can a devil cause or to be responsible for a stronghold? We're going to have Dr. Cheney to say that, and after that, amen, Prophetess Cheney.
Can a devil cause
or be responsible for a stronghold?
Yes, but then, like I said before, that goes back to you allowing him to allow him to put that stronghold, attach that stronghold to you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's just like it was. It's a saying they always say, if you don't stare too hard, then you allow the enemy to come in. Or be careful to cover your ears, or you allow the enemy to come in. When if you don't cover your ears, if you don't cover your eyes, and put on the whole armor of God, and he can come in as a stronghold if you don't cover, praise God, and put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
He can come in as a stronghold, and the thing that, like the prophet said earlier, with praise, with fasting, with prayer, that can kill out that stronghold. They can, praise God, cause deliverance in your life, because you're fasting for that stronghold that's trying to take over you. You're fasting and you're praying, and guess what? That stronghold got to be released.
It has to be broken
because of the weaponry that you're using.
Can a devil cause or be responsible for a stronghold, prophetess Cheney?
So when we look at different strongholds in Jesus' encounter, interaction with demonically possessed people, I think that we open up doors as people. I think there's generational spirits that are connected to people. And then I think there's, again, the gateways, your eye gates, your ear gates, your mouth gates.
Come on now.
That you allow them to come in. And so, and then if you're born into sin, you don't have any power. You don't have anything. If we're born into sin, we're shaping in iniquity. We don't have the ability to fight off certain spirits. And so the enemy is not the only one to be responsible. Let me say that. Because even in the Bible, it talks about when it said the Lord sent a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And so we have to always understand that God is in control of everything, but he will allow the enemy to come in.
Yes, let me interject for a purpose. Some of us, praise God, we're operating and we're moving in sin, and sometimes the Lord allow the enemy, the wicked one, is a tool for the enemy. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us about the young man that was committing adultery and fornication with his mother-in-law. The Paul said, deliver such a one unto Satan that he alert, that his flesh may be crucified. That's very powerful, that his soul might be saved. Can the devil cause or be responsible for a stronghold, Dr. Mercer?
When it comes to, when we say being responsible for a stronghold, I think one of the things that we have to, first of all, understand Satan's position.
Come on.
Most of the time, and again, we give Satan too much credit.
I like that.
Too much credibility.
Amen.
Again, a lot of the things that really, that word, when he's talking about stronghold, we're talking about habitation.
Yes.
So when we think of habitation, that's a living place.
Yes. Yes.
So when something dwells and lives, that also means that there has to be, it has to be time, it has to be development. And so a lot of the reasons why we have the strongholds we have is because you're being broken from, having to be broken from a way of living.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
And so what happens is the Lord, what he has to do is, when it comes to Satan's position, does he send things our way that perhaps helps empowers maybe the desire to keep those places comforted? Because one of the things, that the reason why most people need to be honest, we want the freedom without the responsibility.
Oh, come on now.
That's good.
And so people, a lot of times what happens is they say, I'm free by declaration.
Yes.
But they're still in prison because they never make the life change.
Oh, wow. go ahead.
But you never change your life because you never change the habitation.
My God.
That goes back to that kingdom. It is a place, it's a dwelling place, it's a place of habitation. What Satan did was he bound the people and he had people for him. And it's by association.
Come on.
A lot of times if we're linked up or we're related to something that is not of God, then what happens, we're just like the spiritual board. If you don't assimilate it, it'll assimilate you.
Yes.
And when it calls you, we have this old saying that spirits are transferable.
Right.
And so when you begin to link up, or you're in connection, or you're in communion with something, the Bible tells us not to be in communion with that which is darkness.
Yes.
Come out from among them, be ye separated. And so by association, we can link up with a demonic spirit.
Right.
There could be something unclean that will associate. You know that friend, beloved, that are out there. You know your brother, your sister that's there. They're in darkness. They don't want to go nowhere. Don't want to be nothing. And they're dragging you in. Spirits on them can begin to try to come on you and contaminate you and pollute you. And you don't need that. You need some spiritual discernment. You know that individual is not that good. And they may not know because it's invisible.
Right.
And that spirit can be upon them. And now it's going to come upon you. So by definition, it can draw you in. It can draw you in.
And that goes back. That goes back to, if you can't draw them, don't let them draw you.
And don't
praise
let them
God.
Draw
so,
you.
So careful. Be careful on what you're connected to and who you're connected to.
Yes.
And that's so. That we have to be so wise with our connection, with our walk with God. Who are you connected to?
Yes.
Maybe a lot of your ways you're acting is because of who you're connected to.
Amen.
And
yes.
Then them spirits transfer. People don't think that won't happen. Keep to be connected to something that's not good for you. If you ever notice, you get on an elevator and you hear certain music and you keep hearing it, you find yourself singing it.
Amen.
Amen.
Like
Amen.
Dr. Mercer singing Parliament Funkadelic. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. So that's just the same way we're dealing with people. If you can't draw them, don't let them draw you. Sometimes you just have to cut your ties.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good.
Connection
that's good.
Is so important. But I walk with God.
Can I come in real quick?
Go ahead.
Because when Pastor Mercer was speaking about the dwelling place and the place of authority, understanding that we said when our house has been swept clean, that the spirits that have been casted out, they go back and they're searching for rest, and they go back to their same house because they knew that's where they dwell.
Come on now.
So if it's not clean, they're going to come back.
Come on now. Because again,
that's what the spirits are used to. So you have to continue to let go and do self-examination,
making
sure that those things don't come back. And so we as the body have to be truth with ourselves and just really examining ourselves and being honest, like the man of God said before, making sure that we're saying, you know what, This is what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go ahead and not to be, like you said, associated with that because I don't need the seven worst more than the first to come back.
Oh, then that's
good. And that's good what you said because it makes you think just like with eating. If you know that you get a bag of chips and you're going to eat the whole bag of chips, why buy the bag of chips? I just don't buy them at all because I know it's going to associate with me eating the whole chips. Anything that's going to harm you, why even buy it?
Yes.
That's association as well.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And the stronghold, the scripture that you quoted, Prophetess Cheney, the strong man, that place, they found this weapon, then they went back.
Right.
And then they could handle that individual because that it was swept, they did something, they have a thought, they say, hey, look, I'm going to do something, I'm going to get right. Yeah. But inwardly, their heart is not strong, and so what that enemy unclean spirit does, go away and come back with other, because he may not have been empowered to tear you down. And so what has happened is that strong man, which is Christ, have to take place of that void that was once there. When spirits comes to us, it has to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It has to have your heart. Amen. Go ahead.
I want to say something about that. I want to leave this alone.
Go ahead, man.
Here's what the problem of it is. You said Christ. People are trying to identify him as spirit, but not the person.
Oh, that's good. Yes, definitely.
See, when you don't interject him as being the person,
then you don't
see as me denying myself is to let this new person live.
Yes.
See, we want gifts.
Come on,
amen.
Now.
Amen.
Come on,
we
now.
Want gifts. We want ability. We want, you know, I see it in the spirit, but who is this person?
So they come and sing you.
That's right.
One thing that when you say change position, the Greek word morph, where we get metamorphosis, means to ascend, but it also means to reposition yourself. Sometimes we want to ascend, but we don't want to reposition ourselves. We still want to be around the same situation, thinking that there will be a change. And beloved, there cannot be a change if you don't reposition yourself. You can't be in the Ola Bar thinking you're going to be blessed or produce blessings. Now, another thing that we was talking about when we, and I want to say this, and this is something that's really awesome because it gives us an understanding concerning about the fivefold ministerial giftings. We understand Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I'm going to ask a question, but I'm going to quote this scripture. Can a man or woman of God pull down a stronghold for a believer? Proverbs 21:22 out of the ESV transliteration. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Paul said that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds. casting down every imagination. Okay, so can a man or woman of God pull down a stronghold for a believer, Dr. Mercer?
Can a
man or woman of God pull down a stronghold for a believer?
Like, so me pulling the stronghold down for you?
Yes.
No, sir. You have a responsibility.
I can
pray for you.
Yes.
Yes.
But ultimately, the choice is yours.
Come on now.
You know, and I think here's the thing. I think sometimes, and we've all been responsible for it at some point, or maybe junction in our presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of sometimes making the great declarations of freedom, but not really stressing the importance of relationship.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the relationship as it relates to who Christ wants to be through you,
yes,
to you, for you, so that you're able to see this change.
Yes.
One of the core reasons why people are not changing is because they're not honest.
Come on now.
Yes.
Truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And not understanding that we're so mesmerized with
Come on now.
That we overlook the character.
Oh, that is so awesome.
And go ahead.
No, please.
Bishop Guns, he was on before we came on, and he said something powerful about being naked. You have to understand that when you go to your pastor or your leadership, they can cast out an unclean spirit, most definitely.
Right.
They can heal according to the word of God. They said, silver and gold I have not, but such that I have arise in Jesus' name. But a stronghold has to be crucified.
That's right. Yes.
See, it can't be cast away. It has to be crucified. You're dealing with your emotional, you're dealing with your soulish realm.
Right.
And when you're dealing with your soulish realm, that's where the stronghold is. It's in your soulish realm, not your spirit. Your spirit has already been deliberated because it is the DNA of God.
Mm.
See, so, but your soul needs to be, the Paul said that I mortify the deeds of the body, okay? And then you have to crucify the flesh, beloved. There are all types of strongholds that are in your life that you can't go to the church and let someone lay hands. Yes, we understand the scripture says the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing.
Right.
But if you do not inwardly deal with that problem soulishly, it'll continue
be
there.
Now
I want to ask this real quick, amen, to Dr. Cheney, and then I'm going to ask Providence Cheney. Dr. Cheney, what types of strongholds that are soulishly that could remain? I know we were talking about earlier about ancient spirits that associates through the bloodline. But then with the Galatians, the Bible says these are the work of the flesh. We understand that these things, what comes out of a man, defiles him. We understand that. So what are the major things that a child of God walks in strongholds? Because understanding a stronghold is an addiction. Okay, you can't just wake up tomorrow and say, because it took a process for it to come upon you. See, and so what are the strongholds very quickly that really bears down on the believer?
The main thing I see is pride.
Oh my goodness.
That's a great stronghold.
Oh wow.
Praise God. No humility at all. It's like they think it's about them instead of by God. Pride is the biggest stronghold that I see with the people of God. Amen.
Amen. It's so true, Dr. and Prophetess Cheney.
I agree with her with pride. I also wanted to say that it deals in personality. So when you see different people's personalities, and like you said, it's the person, the seat of the emotions. We talk about the heart and the mind. It's really wicked. Who can know it but God? When you think about that, and I see a lot of people who are, you know, they claim they want deliverance, and they continue to go through these same cycles. And when you look at their personality and the characteristics of pride, no integrity, no moral character, and they don't have the ability to forgive. They don't have the ability to, again, do that self-examination that the Bible talks about. And so those are just the things that I see. And then it displays through your emotions, through your conversation.
Yes.
I've
seen
so many church people, because of religiosity and because of religion, we've been taught
how
to do church.
We've
been taught how to do church, but we're not taught how to live out the church. We're not taught how to become the church.
Yes.
And so you can put on a front and say, I'm saved, and you speak in tongues, and you do all of those great things, and then 6 to 9 months, a year later, the personality of the person, the spirit, the stronghold that has been inhabited happening in them, it begins to come forth again.
Yes.
And so like the man of God said, no, I cannot continue to lay, I can lay my hands and cause the spirits to go away, but you have to make up in your mind again, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Come
but
on
you don't
now.
Want to stay in that place. And understanding, when you say habitat and habit, it takes 21 days to break a habit.
Yes.
And so
yes.
even in our natural sense, we have to be able to train our spirit and train our mind to break those strongholds and those place of habits where God is calling us out.
And that's that solution. That's so awesome because we're telling you accountability. There has to be responsibility and accountability. Even the Most High God gives you power. He has empowered you with the charis. He's empowered you with the endowments. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have dunamis. You have exousia, delegated authority, beloved. You yourself have to rise up. You have to, they said in a long time ago in the church, you got to get sick and tired from being sick and tired. But in reality, you have to understand, is that what we're telling you? You may be someone out there that, man of God, women of God, I want to get out of this thing. Every time I turn myself, I turn around, I'm coming back and forwards. Take responsibility. Yield to the Spirit of the Lord. The scripture says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Resist the enemy, then he shall do what?
Flee from you.
He's already set you free and liberated you in the Spirit. What has happened is that you yourself have to take accountability and begin to submit to God. That when the Bible says that whoever comes to God, he will no way anywise cast you from him. Draw not unto me, and I'll draw not unto you. This one last minute we're going to give to, amen, the doctor, Pastor Mercer. Amen. Yes, we are, sir. Yes, we are, sir. Amen. What would you tell the listening audience how to be set free and stay free from a stumbling block?
It's one word, submission.
Come on now. Yes.
The power of submission is you lose control.
Yes.
And because my choices has caused me to not get the right results, I can trust him.
Yes.
And
come
so
on,
I want to give him the power, not the power, but give him that freedom to have free course in my life where you decide for me.
My God.
Because that's what the benefit of it is. To stay free is when I submit my will to the Lord for his will, then I'm now on a different journey. I can trust his word towards my life, which then also says I can trust who he puts in my life.
Yes.
We wouldn't need so much accountability if we just choose responsibility.
Oh, man, that's good. And
so
we
that's
want
where
to.
We are.
We heard it from the doctor.
Amen.
Stay tuned to next week, and we love you. We appreciate you. And if you want to communicate with us and reach us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, that's Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship. I'm your host, Apostle Americus Cheney, with
Praise God, Dr. Clarice Cheney. You be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. You're invited to join Soul Harvest Ministries tomorrow morning at 11:30, 5560 Temecuana Road and the Temecuana Business Center. Connect with Soul Harvest Ministries on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.